shortest of the Ten Commandments, but it's considered one of the most profound and powerful of the Ten Commandments. When someone willfully and deliberately robs another person of their life, the whole world, regardless of culture and religion, the whole world considers it one of the greatest evils. Well, I said regardless of the religion, I have to say, sadly, the truth is that the Muslim faith doesn't always regard murder as something sinful or evil, but then that just affirms what a sick, evil religion the religion of the Muslims are. I will tell you there is no truth in it. The father of all lies is the father of that religion. Pastor, that doesn't sound very nice. I'm saying that to you because it's the truth. And our goal is to reach out to those with the love and the hope of Jesus Christ and to let them know that Christ died for them and that He loves them and that we love them through the love of Jesus in us. Well, it's not an accident. It's not an accident at all that many translations of this commandment have changed the word kill to murder, just as you can see in our example. I believe there's a significant difference between kill and murder. So we'll examine that killing is not always a crime in God's sight, but murder always is. That takes us to the first point today. Number one, we're looking at things not forbidden in this commandment. There's actually four items I'm going to reference today in the way of killing that is not forbidden in this commandment. And number one, God does not forbid the killing of animals for food or clothing or for some other useful purpose. In fact, in Genesis 9 and verse 3, the Bible tells us that every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you. So Mike, right there, as you look for that opportunity to gain some meat, God is blessing that activity, brother. It's a good thing. God's given us permission, if you would, to kill animals and birds for our own use, for food, and in some cases for clothing. In the Old Testament, if you look back through the Old Testament, thousands of rams and lambs and doves were killed and offered as sacrifices per the instructions of God. When Jesus was here, He ate the Passover lamb. Someone had to kill that lamb and prepare it to be eaten at Passover. When Jesus was here, you remember when the disciples came in after His resurrection, He was at the shore waiting for them on a coal of hot fire. There were fish that He'd prepared. Somebody had to kill those fish for folks to eat it. Jesus even referenced the story of the prodigal son. And you know, in that story, He talks about killing the fatted calf so they could have a wonderful celebration. So in the Bible, we also see killing of animals, animals of prey, dangerous animals, in defense of mankind. The Bible tells us that David slew a lion and a bear. And this is it still done today in defense of their protection of folks. They have to kill. If a mountain lion has attacked someone hiking in the mountains, they have to destroy that mountain lion. The second thing we look at, number two, God does not forbid the killing of a thief who breaks into our home. The Bible tells us, look at this next scripture with me. You have it for you in PowerPoint. Exodus 22 and 2. If the thief is found breaking in and he is struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. This simply is saying that if I wake up in the middle of the night and a thief has broken into my house and he intends to do harm to me or to my family, then I have the right to defend my family and myself. And so if I shoot him in defense of my family, I am not breaking this law of God. In self-defense, if a man in hot anger comes against you to do bodily harm to you, you have every right, I believe, to protect yourself. Number three, killing in war is not forbidden in this commandment. Many servicemen have been disturbed by the matter that they were involved in war and they had to take another life. A few years ago, a dear man in our church called and made an appointment and came to see me. He had served in the Korean War. And in that war, he had the duty and the responsibility of defending a communication tower. He and his other comrades had to defend this communication tower. He, in his service and duty to our nation in defending this tower, as the enemy was coming to take this tower, as he shared with me in my office, that he personally knew that he had killed several men trying to take that tower. And in tears, he's looking and he's asking me, he's saying, am I guilty of breaking this commandment? Am I guilty of murder? And I told him, absolutely not. You are not a murderer. As long as there is sin in the world, we're going to have war. One group of people may be peaceful and God-loving, and another may be a godless nation, and that godless nation attacks another. If you look at history, you can look at examples with Hitler's Germany and Hirohito's Japan, Mussolini of Italy, Ali Khamenei of Iran, and many others. In examples like this, we must fight for our lives. We must fight for our freedom. We must fight for our homes. We must fight for our loved ones. We must fight for our churches. So I believe if you're fighting in war to protect these things, then you're not a murderer and you have not broken God's commandment. Praise God that as Christians, we can look forward to that day, that time, when Jesus comes back, when He returns to this earth. The Bible speaks of the thousand-year reign or the millennial reign of Christ on this earth. The Bible tells us that wars will cease, that swords will be beaten into plowshares, that spears will be turned into pruning hooks, and that nations will study war no more. That's going to happen on this earth when King Jesus is reigning on this earth. Finally, the fourth thing, capital punishment is not forbidden. The Bible tells us in this scripture, we have this for you on PowerPoint, Genesis 9 and 6. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. Now to me, this clearly shows God's approval of capital punishment. Because man is made in the image of God, and no man has the right to lay a hand on God's image to murder and go unpunished. So when our government takes a man's life as a result of a fair trial and that man has murdered someone else, then it is not murder, in my opinion. It is not a violation of the sixth commandment for us to give punishment to that murderer with capital punishment. Well, that's the first point. The second point we look at today on this subject is murder in a biblical sense. This means deliberately going after someone or some people to end their life, to take their life by violent means and to cause death to come to them. The numbers of murders, by the way, just increase more and more every year in this nation. I guess Chicago is now the capital of murders in America. Every weekend in Chicago, there's a number of folks murdered. This is happening all over the world, even in our own nation, because folks are putting God out of their lives, out of their communities, out of the fabric of who we are as a people. And when God is put away, when God is pushed out of people's lives, I can assure you, Satan steps in to take over, to take advantage of that situation. Let me ask you, who was the first murderer? You may be surprised by my answer. Look at the scripture with me, and we have it on PowerPoint. It's John 8 and 44. You are of your father, the devil. These are the words of Jesus, by the way. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So Jesus, by the way, when he said these words, he was speaking to Jewish Pharisees and leaders that wanted to kill him. These were the very people that claimed that their father was Father Abraham. And Jesus is setting them straight. He's telling them, your father is the devil, the father of lies, and the father of murder. And you know what they did to Jesus after he said that, don't you? They murdered him. They fulfilled exactly what he said they were. Yes, Cain was the first human murderer. In a jealous rage, he rose up and murdered his brother Abel. And because mankind has still got sin in their hearts and in this world, they murder each other. That still happens, sadly, doesn't it? We cannot discuss this sixth commandment without pausing and making reference to infanticide or abortion. Abortion is murder, period. Whatever the excuse, the sin is cruel. It is heartless. The Bible tells us that children are a blessing from God. But sadly, many women today, they consider having a child a domestic nuisance. Or maybe it's a social inconvenience. Or perhaps it might be a financial hardship. So they dress up this horrible act with more socially acceptable phrases such as pro-choice. Well, that sounds good. Who could be against choice? Or a woman's right to her own body. Well, that sounds very good, doesn't it? Or here's another one. My reproductive freedom. Oh, it almost sounds virtuous, doesn't it? My reproductive freedom. They choose these alternative descriptions because it would be so brutal and so harsh to say, I think I need to kill the little baby living in me. So they don't say that. What a sad statement. How low has our society gone? Yes, even in this nation. In California, they've tried to pass laws that restrict pro-life clinics from even in existence. Thank God we have an incredible pro-life clinic right here in McKinney, Texas. Hope Women's Center. Nilda Michelli is a volunteer at Hope Women's Center. The folks there are Christians. The leader there, Holly Snell. And she partners with her husband, Aaron Snell, as part of that ministry and that outreach. They do an incredible job. A touching lives of young women that are facing the hardship of a pregnancy, that they're thinking about abortion. And they take those women into that Hope Women's Center, and they love them, and they comfort them, and they show them the sonograms, they show them that baby, they tell them the truth of Jesus and the hope of Christ. And so many of those babies are saved because of that ministry. I praise God for them. We were blessed. We always participate every year in fundraising for that ministry in our church. And you know, remember, we hand out all the baby bottles. We put change in dollars and checks and give it to them. And we couldn't do that this year because of the COVID. So just a couple of weeks ago, because of your faithful giving, I wrote a check for $1,000 and gave to that ministry and told them how much we love and appreciate what they're doing. Praise God for that ministry. Then we talk about the murder. There's the spirit of murder. In the Ten Commandments, the overt act is forbidden. But when Jesus came, not only did he forbade murder, but he forbade the spirit which prompts murder. Now stay with me for a minute this morning. Look with me what he said in Matthew 5, 21 and 22. You'll see that on the PowerPoint. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Jesus is saying here that we should keep murder out of the heart. That's where sin comes in, isn't it? You don't have to shoot a man to be a murderer, to violate the sixth commandment. You violate this commandment when you have murder in your heart. The Bible clearly tells us that if you hate anyone, you can't have eternal life. We have this scripture for you as well on PowerPoint. It's 1 John 3 and 15. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? It's very clear what the Lord is telling us. If someone has wronged you, you cannot be full of anger to the point you're trying to get even. You leave that to God totally, no matter what it is. You leave it to the Lord. In fact, in Romans 12 and 9, he reminds us, he said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." It takes us to the third and the last point of the sermon today, the greatest murder of them all. 2,000 years ago, the greatest murder was committed outside the city walls of Jerusalem. On the blackest day that ever dawned, Jesus was murdered on a cruel cross. There's a beautiful old song, many of you are familiar with it, "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" If we were asked that question, we would all say, "Well, of course I wasn't there. I wasn't even born yet." Well, maybe a couple of you might have been, but I don't think so. But here's the truth. You were there. You were there. You were represented that day. Your sins were represented on that cross. The crucifixion of Jesus would never have happened if it hadn't been for the sins of mankind. You and me, our sins. Let's make it personal. It's our sins. If you look at it that way, then we cut down that tree that made that cross. We laid the stripes on his back. We drove the nails in his hands and his feet. We thrust that spear in his side, and the fluid and the blood came out from our Savior. We murdered Jesus, not the Roman soldiers, not the Jews. They were just instruments. You and I, our sins murdered, killed the Son of God. We did it. But thank God there is forgiveness for you and for me. Oh, thank God. That was a part of God's plan for redemption. Even in the face of hatred and evil and murder, Jesus hung on that cross. You remember what he said? He said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Oh, thank God there is mercy, there is grace, there is forgiveness, there is salvation in our Savior Jesus. Oh, praise God for that salvation. My grandmother McLaughlin, Pearl McLaughlin, lived in a very modest home in Shawnee, Oklahoma, after my grandfather passed away. They had lived on the farm, had been part of the farm. The farm had been in my family for almost 100 years. But my grandfather had leukemia. He was only 66 years old when he died. And he knew they couldn't keep the farm, so they sold it. They moved into Shawnee, Oklahoma, right across the street from their daughter and son-in-law. It was a real blessing for them to be there. My grandmother, she loved the Lord. Though she was not an extrovert, outside of her home, she was not real outgoing. She was a very shy person. But in her home, she never hesitated to tell her children and her grandchildren the importance of knowing Jesus and living for Jesus. Grandma had an expression, and it's one that we need to remember today. I can still hear her saying this, "Lenny, the thing, the main thing, is to keep plenty of Jesus in your heart." Think about it. She's saying to me, she'd say to me, "The main thing is to keep plenty of Jesus in your heart." I'm going to tell you, friends, that is so true, isn't it? Jesus is our greatest need today. I don't care what may be troubling you, what you're uncertain about or anxious about or worried about. Jesus is our greatest need today. Oh, praise God. He'll change your heart. He'll fill you with the Holy Spirit. Our desires, our emotions, and our feelings, they'll be different because of Jesus. And we'll gladly embrace the guidance of the Ten Commandments and all of God's principles and all of God's plans for our lives that are given to us through His Holy Word and by the leading of His Holy Spirit. Oh, praise God for that. Praise God for His Word. Amen. Praise God for the Ten Commandments and the wisdom it gives to our lives. Thank God that today as we gather at Heritage Church, as we honor our veterans, that we can remember this quote we have for you on the PowerPoint by Patrick Henry. Look at these words with me. "We are not weak if we make a proper use of those means which the God of nature has placed in our power. The battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, and the brave," said Patrick Henry. That's still true today. The battle that's before us as believers in Jesus Christ, as God shared with us in the word that was given earlier today, we stand for Jesus. We will not retreat. We will not step back. We will not be regretting or be sorrowful for it. We stand for Jesus Christ. He is the hope of the world. He is the Savior of the world. And He is coming back for you and for me. Amen. Praise God, we have a Savior today. Amen, amen, amen. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, I thank You. I thank You for the eternal truth of Your Word. I thank You that even today, these Ten Commandments and this sixth commandment is so critical to our society, to our lives, to our culture, to who we are as a people. All of these commandments are so important in our lives. God, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the anointed Word. Thank You for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to give direction to our lives. Father, I just pray that Your words will be deep in our hearts and our minds, and that the Holy Spirit will implant in us deeply this eternal truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we have another great opportunity today. Brother Jose Ortiz, who joined the church with his wife Tina this morning. It's just an Ortiz day. She did a beautiful job playing the piano and singing. And Jose and Tina joined the church. And now today, Jose's going to be baptized. And it's my great honor and privilege to baptize him. Amen. So if y'all please excuse me while I go change, and Jose is changing, and we're going to be back in this baptistry in just a few moments, and we'll take the microphone in. No, we won't do that. And Sherry is going to lead you in this great song, important today, the Battle Hymn of the Republic, and she may need to lead you in another song or two until we're ready, but I'm sure she'll come up with something great. Thank you, Sherry. Amen.
Before we sing this morning, Thursday afternoon, I came into church to work, and I heard the water going, and I just heard something going, and I said, "What is that noise?" And Lynn says, "Well, Jose is going to be baptized Sunday," and I said, "That's odd." I said, "I just texted Tina this morning if she could sing for us today, having no idea that her husband was going to be baptized." That's God. God is so powerful. God comes to us and tells us when there's... And so I was just like... And I saw her Friday where we get our hair cut. And I go, this is just amazing. So I'm so thankful. You did a beautiful job. And we are so honored to have both of you here. Amen. Battle Hymn of the Republic. Let's all sing it. Mine eyes have seen the glory of... coming of the Lord, He is trampling at the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful fighting His terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. I have seen Him in the watchfires, 100 circling camps. They have builded Him an altar, the evening dews and damps. I can read His righteous sentence, the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory.